You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't
over. Right before I die, I got it. Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
You took me in a different direction on this morning, and so I'm just going to share with you what the Lord began to share with me. All week long I was hearing in my spirit, it was in my spirit, develop your faith. Look at your neighbor and say, develop your faith. Develop your faith. A lot of us in the body of Christ, a lot of people in the body of Christ, our faith is not fully developed. And so I want to charge you, not only the men, I want to charge everybody in here, especially for 2022, to work on developing your faith. Oh, glory to God. We have many leaders. Let me say this. We have many leaders in the body of Christ. Many leaders in the body of Christ, and they're leading people, but their faith has not been developed. It's amazing sometimes I'll be talking to certain individuals, I'll just say individuals, and it's amazing the things that they don't believe. You'll run into leaders that don't believe that God is still healing. Okay, all right. You're running. I thank God that He's still healing. I thank God that He's still opening wounds. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You're looking at evidence. My two sons. Amen. It's evident that God is still doing some things. But can I tell you something? I'm going to say something that may sound a little smart, Alec, but they're right. Okay. I know I caught you all off guard. That's their reality. My faith is not limited. And sometimes we put a limit on God, even though God is not limited. You can limit God. And so, yes, you can be correct in your belief. Because that's what you believe. And that's where you're stuck at. Come on. Okay, all right. Now let me get moving, though. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, many people in the body of Christ don't have mountain moving faith. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory to God. Didn't Christ speak about mountain moving faith? And I'm not speaking so much about a literal mountain as I am speaking about big problems. Big problems. Tell somebody big problems. Many of us, sometimes we're sitting up in church and we got big problems.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And that's because we haven't developed our faith to move mountains. Amen. How many got some mountains they're going to move this year?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. It's going to require a little work.
Yes.
And this is a big difference between moving hills and mountains, because you might move some hills, oh, glory to God, but it don't mean that, you know, a hill is not a mountain. Tell somebody a hill is not a mountain. Some of us haven't even developed our faith enough to tithe. Come on, somebody. And how many know that even as leaders, you got to lead by example?
Yes.
Okay, all right. That was for the leaders.
Yes,
amen. I know some of y'all are still coming along. Amen. But that was for the leaders. Yes. I have not missed a dime, a nickel, oh, glory to God, that I have given unto the Lord.
Amen.
And so, I want to say this because God has given us spiritual tools. Somebody say spiritual tools.
Yes.
To take advantage of. To use to our advantage. Oh, glory to God. The Bible, you know, God has given us faith. The Bible says that God has given every man a portion of faith, a measure of faith. Come on, he's giving us power. Mm-hmm. Oh, glory to God. Tell somebody, I have power. You're sitting up here, you're born again. You have an anointing. The Bible says that you have an anointing that abides in you. Come on. You got something on the inside of you that'll teach you. That's in 1 John 2:27. And so God has given us spiritual tools to work with. And a lot of the problems is that we won't work with it.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody. Yes. Okay, all right. All right, we ain't working with it. And so some of us in the body of Christ, we have great victories in some areas, and then some areas we have great defeats. Okay, all right. We got victory in some areas, and then some areas the enemy is kicking our butts.
Yeah.
If you go and you read Judges chapter 1, you'll see that when the children of Israel, when they entered into the promised land, come on, they entered into the promised land, they had victories and they had defeats. Victories and they had defeats. They got to the point that they just began to tolerate the enemy. And a lot of times we're tolerating the enemy. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
We just, you know, they allowed the enemy to stay there and just begin to take tribute. But they were tolerating the enemy.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Sometimes your faith in areas can be lying dormant. Dormant. Because guess what? You're not using it. Okay, all right. As a matter of fact, look at the seat beside you and speak to your faith and say, get up and do something.
Get up and do something.
Okay, all right. You know, because it's amazing because we don't even understand that we're supposed to dominate.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Okay, all right. The Bible says those that know their God, they shall be strong. That's an advantage of the relationship with God, is being strong.
Yes.
Being strong. Knowledge of God, a loving relationship with God helps you to be strong.
That's right.
So the Bible says you'll know your God. Come on.
Yes.
You'll be strong, and then it turns around and says you'll do exploits. What are exploits? What are exploits? Some of us that, you know, been to jail in this place, we know what exploits is. It means you take advantage of someone. You've taken advantage of someone or something. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You exploited somebody. Well, here's God saying, exploit your relationship with me. Take advantage of your relationship with me to get some stuff done in the earth. Oh, glory to God. See, I'm exploiting the relationship. I'm using the relationship that I have with God, come on, to use it to my advantage here in the earth, come on, to get some things done. Don't get mad at the people that are exploiting or using their relationship with God to dominate and to get some things done. Okay, all right. I don't know if y'all get this. Ooh, glory to God. All right. Tell somebody God's given me spiritual tools to work with.
God has given me spiritual tools to work with.
Okay, all right. All right. Here we go. Watch this. Because in the body of Christ, and this is I'm talking about, this includes leaders too. We can believe God for finances, but we can't believe God for healing.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Okay. All right. That means that guess what? Our faith is not developed in that area. We can believe God for others, but we can't believe God for ourselves. Right? I'm just pointing out some things. Praise God, I was sitting there writing last night, doing some writing this morning. Oh, glory to God. Because guess what? If we don't point it out, you won't know that you need to really develop that area of your life. Come on. Develop your faith in that area. Can I tell you something? Let me say this here. I have not arrived, but sometimes when the devil begins to stick his head up, come on, and say, I feel something coming on in my body. I'll go to the book of Mark, I think it's about chapter 1 through 5, where the Bible talks about healings and miracles and this and this, and this, and I'll read it, and why am I reading it? I'm reading it to what? Stir up my faith, come on.
Amen.
To stir up my faith in the area of what? Healing, come on. Because God is a healer. He wants you to be healed, whether you believe it or not. So that's the reason why some people aren't healed, because guess what? They just don't believe it. Unbelief. I mean, in the Bible, Christ dealt with a lot of people, you know, as a matter of fact, he dealt with unbelief, and there was many a times he'd say something like, where have your faith gone? What happened to it?
Yeah.
Where did it go? Come on. Right? Because guess what? In the body of Christ, we deal with unbelief. But God has given you some tools. He's given you faith. Come on. He's given you the ability. The Bible says that faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. Simple. Simple. Open your Bible up. As a matter of fact, we got too much information nowadays.
Amen.
Google it.
Yes.
Scriptures that deal with healing. Come on.
Amen.
If you need to be healed, easy. Tap on your little laptop phone or whatever. Do something besides having your face in the phone. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Amen.
You're out there sick as a dog and you still got your phone out and you're looking at everything else. TikTok, top tick, or whatever that is. Come on. But you won't use that cell phone to pull up scriptures and meditate on those scriptures. The Bible says meditate on the word day and night, and it'll make your way prosperous. Come on. And so what are you doing? You're like Judges chapter 1. You're tolerating the enemy. You're allowing the enemy to dominate you when you're supposed to be dominating the enemy. You're allowing the spirit of infirmity, come on, which is the strong man for all sicknesses, to dominate you. Okay, all right. Tell somebody, develop your faith.
Develop your faith.
Where was I? Okay. You can believe God for someone to lay hands on you. How many of us sit in the audience and you believe in God? Oh, God, let him call me out and let him lay hands on me so that I'll be made whole. But you can't believe God that you can lay hands on somebody else. Last I checked, I got the same God you got if you're born again.
Amen.
Okay. All right. So why can't that God that's in me work like the God that's in you?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
This all right? This good or what?
Amen.
Y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. All right. The Bible says faith worketh through love. And sometimes when your faith is not working right, that means that you might need to develop your love life.
Amen.
To develop your faith. Okay. All right. I'm going to say that again. You might need to develop your love life to get your faith developed right. I've come to learn something. My love life with my wife has taught me something about faith.
Amen.
It taught me, first off, that I didn't need a whole lot. I didn't need as much as I thought I was going to need. Okay,
amen.
All right.
Amen.
I know I messed y'all up on that one.
Yeah.
Didn't Jesus say that you only need the faith of a mustard seed?
Yeah.
I've been trying to tell folks, because sometimes we're trying to get people to believe who they don't know, and I won't go all into that, but guess what? My loving, intimate relationship with my wife and my knowledge of my wife, I don't have to sit around trying to believe that she's going to do the right thing by me. I've come to a place of knowing, so I don't need to sit around believing all the time. So guess what? I only need a little faith because of what I know. Come on. Okay, all right. I don't know if y'all caught that.
Amen.
Y'all understand it?
Amen.
Okay, all right. All right. It's Galatians chapter 5. Faith worketh through love. Hallelujah. All right. Also, somebody said we're talking about developing your faith.
Talking about developing your faith.
Christ moved. Okay, all right. Compassion. Let me say it this way. Your faith needs compassion.
Yes.
How many remember when Christ came off the boat and the Bible says that there was a multitude of people? And the Bible says that he had compassion upon them. Come on. Because if you don't have compassion, and a lot of us in the body of Christ, you wonder why your faith ain't working right, because you don't have a whole lot of compassion. You pass by a sick person and you won't even pray. Okay. You pass by a handicapped person and you won't even pray. Okay, all right. The ambulance passed by on the way to the hospital and you don't even say a prayer. Oh, glory to God. You won't even release your faith for someone to live that's in the ambulance that might be dying. All right. get a whole lot of amens off of that. Let me get about two more before I go on. Okay, all right. All right. And so much compassion. And so much compassion that this compassion drove him to move in faith and to feed an estimate 20,000 people. Let me show you some stages here. Something that God dropped on me this morning. First off, we know because of the Bible and what was done when Christ's mother came to him and said that at a wedding feast and said that we're out of wine. Come on, and I need you to do something about it. And he was like, well, woman, it's not my time yet. What do I have to do with you? But first off, the reason why she came to him, because he was doing things around the house. He was making things happen around the house. Come on, somebody. Joseph was dead. Daddy, the earthly father, but it wasn't his father, but he died. Come on. And so anyways, now, guess what? If there was a shortage, Jesus would take care of it. Come on. And so now, you see him at the wedding that was level one, because you got to realize you go from faith to faith and from birth. Now he's at the wedding feast, and they didn't have weddings like us, you know, several hours, and then, you know, hey, they pack up everything and go. Come on, their weddings were like weeks. Come on, it could go over a week. So if you were planning a wedding, you had to have quite a bit of stuff planned, right? You had to have a lot of supplies. So they ran out of wine on the first day. Come on. And so, because sometimes we're looking at this and we're like, okay, all right, he just created enough wine just for that day. No, baby. He had to create wine for that whole week. Come on, somebody. However long it was going to last. Come on. Release your faith and believe this word today. Oh, glory to God. I don't know if y'all getting this. Y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a new fence. All right, okay, here we go. All right, okay. Now all of a sudden, he comes off the ship, and there's about 20,000 people out there. Come on, that's been following him, that ran, literally ran around the Sea of Galilee, ran to the other side to meet him. Oh, glory to God. And the Bible says he had compassion upon them. Begin to ask his disciples, okay, what are we going to do for these folks? And they said, well, let's send them away into the villages. Because some of you all, you got to send them away faith. Okay, all right. God up in Zion. Have your way, Spirit of the Lord God.
Amen.
You got to send them away. Come on. Send them away somewhere else. Okay, all right. Let me help you out. Be nice about this here. Someone comes to you and say, I got a appointment for a surgery and such, and you know, and then you go to pray for them and God give the doctor wisdom. Oh God, guide the hand of the doctor. Why are you sending them? Why are you putting their faith, come on, in the doctor when you have the healer, the creator, the manufacturer of our bodies? Come on, somebody, on the inside of you. You won't activate your faith. You won't do Okay, all right, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to be nice. Because we do that. We point people to everything but God. I had to put my notes down on that one. We point people, well, come to our church. We point people to the pastor. Well, what's wrong with your hands? What's wrong with God using you? I thank God when I heard that prophetess and minister Larry, come on, went to the hospital and prayed for the sick. I thank God.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Somebody using what they got. Somebody got. See, the Bible says we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. A lot of the problem in the body of Christ is some of us are just stuck on first grade faith. You got a little third grade and fifth grade mixed up in there, but a lot of it it's just first grade faith. Come on, somebody. We can't even lift the rock yet. It's like, get up, rock. You know, we got to, okay, pick it up. Okay, all right. Just a little comedy there. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Some of us don't even understand when we look at the word glory, you don't even understand the definition of glory. It's the splendor of God, the power of God, the majesty of God. It's the wealth of God or the riches of God. This is why the Bible says, men shall give, hold up. What's that verse of scripture, baby? Riches and glory.
According to his riches and glory.
Yeah. How did that verse of scripture go?
The Lord shall supply all.
The Lord, here we go, thank you. The Lord, the Bible says, now I'm not saying this. The Bible says that the Lord shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory and in Christ Jesus. In other words, let me show you something. Let me show you something. There's riches, there's wealth in his glory. Your problem is that, guess what? You don't want the glory. Are you stuck on a low level of glory? Because let me show you something. When you understand that there's riches in glory and you're willing to go to another level of glory in God, then the wealth is going to automatically come with it. Okay.
Wealth transferring in
the glory. There's advantages, come on, to getting his glory. And some of us in the body of Christ, you haven't even been told to pray for his glory. Come on. Man, Moses was like, I want to see your glory. Come on. My God. Okay. Right. Why do you think in Isaiah chapter 60, and I'll move on, but why do you think in Isaiah chapter 60, when the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shall come upon you, oh glory to God, and when the glory came, look at everything else that came. Look at the wealth that came, the businesses that came. I'm telling you to go read Isaiah chapter 60. There are some things that are connected with the glory. And so you got to be willing to go up higher in God. You got to be willing for your faith to grow in God. You got to be willing to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Come on, somebody. Look at your faith on the sin beside you and say, get up and do something. Come on, get up and do. Put your faith to work. All right, I'm just about done. Give me about 5 more minutes, and I'm going to get out of the way. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I'm trying to share this with you. Why? Because let me show you something. Man, that was a time that I didn't have a place to stay. I would have to take a bath with a hose of water outside. Come on, somebody. My God, sleeping in a closet. Some of y'all got it better than what I had. Oh, glory to God. But let me show you something. If God could raise me up out of the dunghill, come on, make me a businessman. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. If he's done it for me, what's your excuse? Come on, he's a God of turnaround. All right. I just got in his word. I got in his word and I saw what God could do for me. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And I'm like, okay, if you can do that for me, I'm going to serve you. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. I'm down to about 4 minutes because I'm trying to find some of... All right. Tell somebody, increase your expectation.
Increase your expectation.
Okay. All right. Expect God to use you.
Amen.
Walk around expecting God to use you. Yes. There's people that's healed now because guess what? You know, I expect God to use me. Smokey Bones. Guy sitting outside the restaurant, feet all hurting, you know, having a hard time walking. Come on. Praise God. God healed him. I look for opportunities, come on, to apply my faith. I was just sharing last night, come on the cell phone with someone from Atlanta, how God used me to raise a dead man. Come on, somebody. I don't go around talking about it all the time, but you know what? Maybe we should talk about it. Because guess what? You got dead raising, hey, brother. You got dead raising, you got resurrection power on the inside of you. But you don't know that Because guess what? You haven't read it. You're not reading the Bible like you should. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And so you have the ability to resurrect things. Come on. A guy died right in front of me and Bob. We're standing outside talking to God. Boom. Fall over. We turn him over. We take his last three breaths. He's dead. So I quietly, try to, not get the business that I was standing in front of riled up. And I just kind of stuck my head in there and said, if anybody knew CPR, nobody knew CPR. I come back out, And Bob's hanging out with the dead man. And so anyways, he goes inside. He's calling the ambulance.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is vipministries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look in an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Apparently, the UK has decided to shift its loyalties from courageously defying tyranny in the 20th century to embracing it in the 21st. Just last week, a so-called conservative-led British parliament made George Orwell's fictional accounts of thought crime a reality. After establishing censorship zones around abortion clinics in England and Wales, the MPs then voted 299 to 116 to criminalize even silent prayer in the vicinity of such clinics. And this law is no idle threat. Just last month, Isabel Vaughan Spruce and Sean Goh were thankfully found not guilty in a Birmingham, England court for the supposed crime of praying in public. Neither were arrested for some kind of loud, amplified prayer that disrupted public activities or woke people up in the dark of night. They were arrested for praying silently outside an abortion clinic. On March 6th, the day before the recent vote, Vaughan Spruce was then arrested again for praying silently near an abortion facility. When she protested to the policeman that she wasn't engaging in any prohibited activity, the officer replied that she was, quote, engaging in prayer, and that is the offense. Let that sink in for a second. The internal operations of one's own mind can be a criminal offense? Now, how did Britain, with a rich history of defending liberty, devolve to a place of banning prayer and peaceful protest? The late great social critic Neil Postman once observed how Americans prided themselves that the year 1984 came and went without the West devolving into George Orwell's dystopia. But they'd also failed to see that we were far more in danger of living out Aldous Huxley's version of a totalitarian nightmare in a brave new world. As Postman put it, quote, what Orwell feared were those who would ban books. Huxley feared there would be no reason to ban a book, but there would be no one who wanted to read one. Orwell feared those who would deprive us of information. Huxley feared those who would give us so much that we would be reduced to passivity and egoism. At the time, Postman was absolutely correct in saying that Huxley got it right and not Orwell. We were able to avoid inhumane detention centers, torture chambers, and Big Brother screens. But we'd fallen captive to the glowing rectangles in our own homes and our own pockets. Our cultures long resembled Huxley's imagined world of trivial pleasures more than it has the overt totalitarianism of Orwell's imagination. But what Postman may have missed is just how much easier it is to make 1984 a reality in an already brave new world, one that's caught up chasing our personal peace and affluence and silencing anyone who rocks our boats. The right to dissent once stood as one of the most prized cultural possessions of the West. Now, our most cherished freedoms are being watered down to a mere right of agreeing with whatever the combined interests of state and society